You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Help with Financial Pressures. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
Some psychologists tried to dismiss the movement, and for years the media was convinced that if they didn't mention it, this movement would somehow disappear. But instead of disappearing, this movement, this endless searching in our society for spiritual meaning in life, is getting larger and larger like a huge balloon. Part of this huge balloon is the rapidly expanding interest into what is now called the New Age religion. Forbes magazine recently announced that people currently spend $2 billion every year on aromatherapists, channeling, and macrobiotic food. These words are so new that most people don't even know what they mean. Nevertheless, enormous amounts of money, yes, billions, are being spent every year in search for spiritual meaning in life. 1 year ago, U.S. News and World Report magazine stated that in the United States, there are as many as 3,500, that's right, 3,500 new religious groups. This same secular journal labeled many of these groups as having beliefs that are absolutely outlandish. Now, of course, there is always the temptation to think that our generation is the first to struggle with the big questions of religion and faith and God and sin and forgiveness and heaven. But this is not true. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 19, we read that one day a rich young man came to Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" Now, let's be honest. Isn't this the same question that so many people today are asking? What can I do to become more religious and to please God? These spiritual anxieties of our innermost being and all the uncertainties of life are rooted in one common problem. Our sins and our failures in life have separated us from our gracious God. In the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, we read that when Adam and Eve sinned, God banished them from the Garden of Eden. And now through our sins, you and I have also destroyed our relationship with God. And then in our efforts to get back in touch with God and in order to be spiritual, we try various approaches, including anti-Christian New Age religion, in an attempt to earn God's favor. Therefore, the question that the rich young ruler asked Jesus 2,000 years ago is incredibly relevant for us today in 1998. Even though we do not use exactly the same words as did the rich young ruler, our thoughts are often the same. What must we do to obtain eternal life? Consequently, this is also why it is absolutely important for all of us to listen carefully and prayerfully to the answer that Jesus gave. According to the Bible, when the rich young ruler approached Jesus and asked our Lord what he could do to gain eternal life, Jesus responded, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, then keep the commandments." Of course, this is also what Jesus would say today to anybody living in Omaha or San Francisco or Boston or Dallas or Calgary or Toronto or Kingston, or just anywhere. If you, like the rich young man in the Bible, have been wondering what you can do to earn God's favor and also to earn a place in heaven, then the answer Jesus gave the rich young ruler is the same answer he is now giving you, and that is, keep the commandments. Now, before you respond to what Jesus is saying to you today, listen to what the rich young ruler said. After Jesus told him that he had to keep the commandments, the rich young ruler then asked Jesus, "Which commandments?" Jesus replied, "You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The Bible then explains that the young man said to Jesus, But all these things, all these commandments, I have kept. What am I still lacking? Oh, how familiar this sounds, even though you and I would probably not be so bold and so arrogant as the rich young ruler and claim that we have kept all of the Ten Commandments perfectly. Nonetheless, most of us probably are tempted to believe that overall we have done pretty well, especially when we compare our lives to that of our neighbors or someone we feel has made a mess of their life. And so we believe that we have probably achieved maybe a B+ or even an A- in God's sight. However, because this is precisely what the devil has planted into our minds, this is also why you and I need to hear Jesus telling you and me the same thing he told the rich young man. If you wish to be complete, then go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, then you shall have treasure in heaven. And after you have done this, Jesus said, then come and follow me. But oh, when the rich young ruler heard this, the Bible says, he went away grieved because this young man owned much property. Then Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is easier, Jesus said, for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now the Bible continues to explain that when Christ's disciples heard this, they were astonished. In exasperation, they then asked Jesus, then who can be saved? And looking upon them, Jesus responded, with men this salvation is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Oh, my friend, look at the search for spirituality in 1998. Look at the frenzy for faith. Add up all the billions that are now being spent throughout the United States and in Canada and in the Caribbean. All of this being spent to get connected to God and to be touched by angels and to communicate with the spirits of another world. Not long ago, I heard about a man who claims that he can speak to the dead. Imagine this. He has appeared on Oprah Winfrey and other popular talk shows. People are now spending thousands of dollars to buy his books, hoping that they too might learn more about life after death and possibly also communicate with their own dead ancestors and relatives. And so we can see, because of this almost crazy interest in spiritual things in 1998, that very little has changed since that day when the rich young man asked Jesus, "What must I do to earn eternal life?" Of course, hidden under this current desperate search for spirituality is the overall uncertainty of life and the fear of death, which has led countless people to discouragement, despair, and a tragic end by their own hands. Have you heard about the many children of popular Hollywood personalities who take their own lives? Did you know that for various reasons, every year, that's right, every year, the same number of doctors commit suicide as graduate from the Harvard Medical School? Oh, indeed, it is precisely for this reason, because there is today so much hopelessness and so much searching, that we need to hear God's good news of mercy and grace and forgiveness. The Apostle Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." These stirring and faith-building words penned by the Apostle Peter are more than religious poetry. These Christ-centered words are built upon that one solid and immovable foundation of faith and hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, my friend, don't ever underestimate the life-giving and the life-sustaining power of Christ's resurrection. This resurrection power, the Apostle Paul writes, is the same power that lives within the hearts of all believers in Jesus Christ. In those days when you feel you can't take it anymore, when the burdens become too great to bear, do you ever wonder how it was that the early Christians could rejoice even though they faced greater trials and far more difficult tribulations than you or I could ever imagine? The answer is this. You see, the early Christians, even as they faced bloody persecution and death, they could still rejoice. Yes, they prayed and they sang with great joy because of their hope. Yes, because their hope rested solidly in Jesus Christ and their God-given faith in the power of His life-saving resurrection. The faith of Christians in every century has burned brightly like a flame of hope in an otherwise sin-darkened world, not because of their human-generated convictions, but because of the faith which God graciously planted through His Word and Spirit into their hearts. The rock-solid and Christ-centered faith which God graciously gives us through His living Word produces fruits of hope and joy and the desire to break forth in hymns of praise, always acknowledging that our hope is not built on the passing fads of New Age religion, but on the unchanging message of Christ, the apostles, and the prophets. The cornerstone of this faith is Jesus Christ. The unchanging and life-giving power of this faith is the good news of the gospel of God. This good news assures your heart and mind that even though you and I are sinners, and even though we daily sin much, God still loves us. He also sent His Son Jesus to die a bloody death on the cross to pay for our sins. The Apostle John writes that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Let this good news of God, of the complete forgiveness of all your sins in Jesus Christ, give you a new start in life. And let God's good news of love and forgiveness enable you to start every day with hope. Instead of permitting the devil to discourage you, cling to Christ. Don't do like the rich young man and let your worldly possessions replace God. Instead, focus on God's love and mercy and say with the 16th century hymn writer who wrote, "Now I have found the firm foundation which holds mine anchor ever sure. 'Twas laid before the world's creation, in Christ my Savior's wound secure. Foundation which unmoved shall stay when heaven and earth will pass away. Though I be robbed of every pleasure that makes my soul and body glad, and be deprived of earthly treasure, and be forsaken, lone and sad, though my desire for help seem vain, God's mercy shall with me remain. I'll stand upon this firm foundation as long as I on earth remain. This shall engage my meditation while I the breath of life retain. And then, when face to face with Thee, I'll sing of mercy, great and free." Oh, my friend, may these words, or even these thoughts of God's grace, be sung by you and your family. Yes, go with great joy to church every Sunday. For when you do, your conscience will be unburdened as you hear again and again that your sins and mistakes are washed away in the sin-cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. And this is also what the devil, the author of discouragement and despair, hates to hear. He doesn't want to hear this. The great reformer Martin Luther wrote that when hymns which focus on Jesus Christ are sung, then the devil and his demons of despair have no choice but to flee. You and I are very much like the rich young ruler, this young man in the Bible, who came to Jesus one day and asked what he could do to obtain eternal life. This same young man was deeply grieved when he heard the answer that Jesus gave. And now, 2,000 years later, when you and I hear Jesus' answer, we also are often brought up short. And when you and I hear there's absolutely no way that we can save ourselves, but that only God can save us, this message of God's law and gospel jolts us. Yes, it violently jars our mixed-up minds. However, this same powerful message refocuses our faith away from ourselves and toward the gracious mercy of God. And it is also for this reason that we need again and again to hear God's call of love as He speaks to our hearts through sermons on Sunday, through reading the Bible during the week, and through daily devotions. Our weary hearts need to be hourly assured, and our souls need to be daily comforted by our Heavenly Father. The psalmist declares, "The loving kindness of our Lord is from everlasting to everlasting Yes, let Isaiah the prophet lift your weary heart. When speaking for God, Isaiah says, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for mine own sake, and I will remember your sins no more. In the past few minutes, you have heard the word of the Lord. Through his living and active word, God is now asking you to focus your future not on yourself and your possessions like the rich young ruler did, but rather God is asking you, yes, he is urging you out of love to focus your God-given faith upon the sin-cleansing and life-giving power of the blood of Jesus Christ and his life-giving resurrection. And when you do this, my friend, you will be saved now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.